From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Don't look now, but Big Brother is watching you again. Only this time he has a new name. Pandora, the online music service, is watching your playlists for signs of your political leanings. We'll hear all about it later. And our live music today comes from the band Lost in the Trees, who back in 2008 released their first album of orchestral folk music. All it takes is a walk around the lake, is a walk. That's from Lost in the Trees' first record, and in among the chamber music and folk sounds, you could kind of sense a rock band trying to get out. Well, it finally has. The new plugged-in version of Lost in the Trees plays live for us. But speaking of plugging in, the Songwriters Hall of Fame recently announced that among its 2014 inductees will be Ray Davies, longtime frontman of the British rock band The Kinks. So today, we're bringing you Soundcheck's Guide to The Kinks, for both beginners and big fans. Joining us today to help us out is Joe Levy, editor of Billboard magazine. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good to be here.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the basics of the Kinks and hear some deep cuts and some Kinks music that's better left unheard. But let's just kind of get this out there. Who are the Kinks?
Well, the Kinks are Ray and Dave Davies, brothers, born in the north of London, the youngest of eight kids. Six sisters, no less. Mm-hmm. Dave is the younger brother. Ray, the songwriter, although Dave wrote as well. And, of course, they're well known as the British band that did great social commentary songs, great short story songs, and really raised the art of pop songwriting to something unique and special.
Now, we're all about the 50th anniversary of the Beatles invasion coming to New York, JFK Airport, Ed Sullivan Show this month, you know, 50th anniversary of that. The Kinks were not far behind, were they?
No, not really. One of the interesting things about the Kinks is, of course, they're not as celebrated. They're not everyone's first, hey, it's the Stones, it's the Beatles. And yet, I think sometimes that the Kinks did tough better than the Stones, and they did pop as well and sometimes just a teeny bit better than the Beatles. There's a nuance to Davies' songwriting, a depth to it, that although, hey, you can't argue with the Beatles, that's catchy and it's catchier than the Kinks, maybe it's a little deeper with the Kinks.
So their early hit, You Really Got Me, this is 1964. This song is half a century old.
And it sounds amazing still.
Oh, yeah, you really got me now. You Got Me, The Kinks. This was their first big single, Joe.
First big single and arguably the birthplace of heavy metal.
What?
Yeah, listen, how raw, how punk do those opening chords sound?
Absolutely.
This is like a power trio song. This song sounded so raw, so tough, that Pete Townsend wrote to the producer, Shel Talmy, and said, will you produce my band? That sounds great.
Yeah.
You have to understand, the Beatles played this raw, but they didn't record this raw. And the story on this song is that Ray was fooling around with the chords to Louie Louie and came up with this. If you listen to early Kinks, you'll hear them doing a lot of blues and R&B covers. And unlike the Stones, they weren't trying to get it perfectly right. They missed the swing. They missed the wit. But here's a time where flattening it out a little, putting all the emphasis on the guitar, turned out to be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, and they created, you call it the birth of heavy metal. That's like the birth of garage rock.
Oh, right, well, absolutely. I mean, they're fooling around with Louie Louie, which is a garage band classic, right?
Yeah.
Those chords. But they create something even more raw, even more simple.
So while much of America is listening to the Beatles saying, I want to hold your hand, this guy, Ray Davies, is saying something very different.
Yeah, the Davies songs, I mean, they were called the Kinks after all. The Davies songs are franker about sexuality.
Yeah.
You've really got me now. You've got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Well, and then it was, I want you all day and all of the night. And before long, he was writing these social commentary songs.
Mm.
A dedicated follower of fashion, which, mentions in passing that this guy is wearing nylon panties. There weren't a lot of songwriters in 64, 65, 66 taking these kind of liberties.
And Ray Davies and his brother Dave Davies, apparently the family pronounces that last name Davis, although no one else anywhere in the world pronounces it that way. So Ray Davies being inducted this year into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and Joe Levy, editor at Billboard Magazine, is helping us out with Soundcheck's Guide to the Kinks. Okay, so that's our early clip. The song You Really Got Me. What about the mid-period where they really hit their stride and Ray hits his stride, as you say, as a storyteller?
Very quickly, they begin writing more songs on their records, all the songs on their records, and then they begin to produce themselves. Right at the period where they're transitioning into producing themselves, they have this record, Something Else by the Kinks. And the great song here is Waterloo Sunset, an unbelievably beautiful, high Baroque English pop song.
Terry meets Julie, Waterloo Station, every Friday night. But I am so lazy, don't want to wonder, I stay at home at night. But I don't feel afraid. As long as I gaze on Waterloo Sunset, I am in paradise.
That song not sound as dated as it clearly is.
It's an amazing song, and it reminds me of a Sherwood Anderson story. Sherwood Anderson, the writer in the collection Winesburg, Ohio, mm-hmm, has these mm-hmm. stories that look like they're simple tales of lovely small town life, but they're dark, they're creepy, they're sad. And here's this beautiful love song about two lovers meeting by Waterloo Station, except that's not who's telling the story. It sounds like a happy love song, but the narrator is watching them through the window. He's lazy. He's comfortable. As long as he sees them, he's happy. He's lonely by himself. Oh, what's he doing behind that window?
Mm.
This is making me feel a little creepy. And the thing about the Davies songs, the Ray Davies songs, is the Beatles wrote social commentary songs, and so did Ray Davies. The Stones wrote social commentary songs, and so did Ray Davies. And then Ray Davies moves on to something else that the Beatles and the Stones don't do. So when the Beatles had Nowhere Man, that's a song, it's very simple, it's one level. There's a nowhere man, he's living in his nowhere land. We're over here, we're somewhere, we're somebody, mm-hmm. we know what's what. That guy, we don't like him. when the Stones do Mother's Little Helper, it's like, that lady's a hypocrite. She's a mom. She takes pills just like we do, but that helps her get her through the day instead of get her high. But here's a song with, if not compassion, real empathy.
Mm.
You know, the narrator of this song is a lonely guy, and yet the song is warm and happy, and about how warm and happy he is watching other people. Ray Davies said that he wrote this song thinking about watching his sisters go out on dates. And he doesn't just write that perspective. He comes up with this character. You never know who this guy is, sitting on his own behind that window, lonely and lazy, watching lovely Julie and Terry meet. And you get both that warm love song and that dark, cold loneliness.
Joe Levy of Billboard magazine helping us out with our Soundcheck's Guide to the Kinks, celebrating Ray Davies, the Kinks songwriter, and his induction into the Songwriters Hall of Fame this year. Waterloo Sunset is from the 1967 album Something Else by the Kinks. So that's our mid-period. So we go from early Kinks to mid-Kinks pretty quickly, you know, 1964, 67. What is late-period Kinks?
Well, late period Kinks is the 70s and the 80s, basically. You know,
so it's everything else.
I guess that's what I'm going to say. You know, there's so much Kinks and there's so much great Kinks. We're not going to get a chance to talk about Lola, the great gender switch song that actually breaks them in a live version in America in the 80s, years after it's recorded. But in the 70s and 80s, in the 70s, Ray goes into this touring mode. He has these big stage productions, and it's about the stage production first, the veritable rock opera, and the recording second. And if you listen to these records now, Preservation, Act 1 and 2, they're super sloppy, and they've actually aged kind of well.
Hmm.
It feels like a guy just throwing people, singers, songs, instruments together, throwing stuff against, and it actually has a loose feel that's kind of nice. But as things go on, we get into the 80s. Late 70s, they try to be a professional rock band. And then in the 80s, they're a touring band. And it just becomes not great.
Well, there's also, you know, the always simmering and occasionally explosive tension between the two brothers.
Not only that, but I think that Davies' cynicism deepens. You know, that satiric edge deepens into a kind of cynicism as time goes on. So when he's making records titled Give the People What They Want and Hope They Get What They Deserve, as a consumer, you're kind of like, I'm not sure how to feel about this.
What about the song Father Christmas?
Well, this is my pick for a late period Kinks piece, but it's not that late given how long they went on. It's 1977. This is an interesting song. This is as mean and as violent as Davies' class struggle ever got. And he wrote a lot of songs about class in England. This is a song from the perspective of some kids who grow up with the idea of Christmas. They end up poor and they're robbing a department store Santa, basically. It's got this nod to the Springsteen sound in it, if you listen closely. So it's sort of like, hey, Bruce, you think you're writing songs about working class tough kids? Here are some working class tough kids.
This is Ray Davies and the Kinks with Father Christmas.
When I was small, I believed in Santa Claus, though I knew it was my dad. And I would hang up my stocking at Christmas, open my presents, and I'd be glad. But the last time I played Father Christmas, I stood outside a department store. A gang of kids came over and mugged me and knocked my reindeer to the floor. They said, Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys. We'll beat you up, don't hand it over. We want your bread, so don't make us annoy. Give all the toys to the little rich boy.
The Kinks with Father Christmas. Now, Joe, you can call that the meanest Christmas song ever. And, you know, you mentioned Ray Davies' growing cynicism in the 70s. But even here, this story of, you know, young, out of work, desperate kids, working class kids mugging a department store Santa for money. Even here, that English humor, that wit, the chiming, tinkly, charming little bell sound.
Well, the Springsteen-like glockenspiel is the way I think of it. But I love the detail, like they roughed me up and they knocked my reindeer to the floor. it's a great, funny detail. This is a tough song. It partakes a little bit of 1977, a little bit of the spirit of punk and English pub rock. But ultimately, it used to crack me up hearing this on New York radio around Christmas every year. Like once a year, you got to hear this song over and over again. And it was great.
Now, people who are fans of the Kinks and people with only a passing knowledge of the Kinks will know songs like Lola and All the Day and All the Night and Celluloid Heroes and, I mean, so many hits. But there's a kind of a deeper catalog. There's a deeper well of songs.
There's a huge Kinks catalog. And when you get into the deep cuts, some people go for statement of purpose songs like I'm Not Like Everybody Else. Some people go for one-off singles like Autumn Almanac. There are two songs from two great records that are worth hearing their entirety that I think are terrific deep cuts. One is from Face to Face, which is the first album where Davies wrote all the songs from front to back. And the other is from what might be their greatest record, The Kinks Are the Village Green Preservation Society.
Right. A title which says so much about Ray Davies and the idea of Englishness in his music.
It sure does. I mean, this is a guy who did write a song called Afternoon Tea, after all. But The Kinks of the Village Green Preservation Society, a terrific record, essentially a concept record about time passing. And not a judgmental record. Again, there's that compassion, that empathy. When you get into this, like when I bought this as a kid, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. We are the Village Green Preservation Society. They're making fun of old people. And that is callow youth speaking, because this record is about everyone getting older. The song on it I love is Big Sky. This is a sophisticated notion for a rock band. This is about looking up at the big sky. Where's God? God has no time for you. God is indifferent.
This is from a 1968 recording by the Kinks.
Big Sky looked down on all the people looking up at the big sky. Everybody's pushing one another around. The big sky feels sad when you see the children scream and cry. But the big sky too big to let it get him down. Big sky too big to cry.
The song is Big Sky from Ray Davies and the Kinks from their 1968 record. The Kinks are the Village Green Preservation Society. Joe Levy, editor of Billboard magazine, with us, and Soundcheck's Guide to the Kinks. We've gotten into the deep cuts portion of our guide. Now, you mentioned another song from Face to Face.
From Face to Face, this song is Little Miss Queen of Darkness. Now, I tell you that title and you think, oh, Ray Davies is going to sing a song about Little Miss Queen of Darkness. It's probably about a goth girl, maybe. Or so, you know, and it
another Lola.
Another Lola. Perhaps it partakes of that mid-60s British sneering tradition of songs about girls you don't really like. And yet, again, that compassion, that empathy. What this song is really about is a girl on the scene in swinging London, blonde curls, false eyelashes, hiding the darkness inside.
Well, I met her accidentally in a little discotheque. And she acted oh so friendly to every fella that she met. And her hair was hanging down like a bright and silken sheen. Little Miss Queen of Darkness, dancing night and day. Little Miss Queen of Darkness. Curly false eyelashes were not much of a disguise.
Another Kinks deep cut called Little Miss Queen of Darkness from the 1966 record Face to Face. Joe, there's a little bit of English music hall in that
More
song.
More than a little bit of English music hall. Doesn't it feel great listening to the Kinks? Don't you feel dapper and debonair like we're in a Wes Anderson movie all of a sudden? I feel so much classier, so much smarter just listening to this music. Yeah, the Kinks loved R&B. They started out as a skiffle band the way a lot of British bands did. They loved American R&B, but they also loved that tradition of British music hall. And it's been said that the Davies family, a large family, eight kids, had big front parlor parties. Mm. And that Ray and Dave Davies were trying to capture that spirit in their music. I'll certainly say this song in particular, Little Miss Queen of Darkness, it's again, it's that empathy for the woman he's singing about. You don't find it in a lot of music, and this is a guy who had six older sisters.
We're talking about Ray Davies, the songwriter, frontman for the British rock band The Kinks, being inducted this year into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Of course, the band has been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a long time, and deservedly so, which is not to suggest, Joe, that The Kinks put out nothing but gold. There is certainly a lot of hay being spun in the studio as well.
Yeah, once you hit the 70s, it's a mess, and then you get into the 80s, and it's a bit of a disaster. They just keep going. Some of the songs sound good. It gets harder and harder, though, to find where the perspective is. Is it cutting both ways? What's he satirizing? There's a song, a late period song called Black Messiah, which always seemed like a joke to me because it's an anti-immigration song. He must be making fun of that perspective, mm-hmm. right? But I've never gotten to the bottom of it myself. It creeps me out that I don't really know what the perspective of this song is. And it's the same for this song from the aptly titled album State of Confusion, 1982, Young Conservatives. Of course, the neocons are on the rise in England. It's Thatcher England. Mm-hmm. This must be attacking young conservatives. And yet when you listen to the song, it does feel a bit confused to me. It really seems to be attacking the end of the idealism of the 60s more than maybe instead of attacking young conservatives. The two things don't necessarily have something to do with each other. It seems like Davies is singing more about himself and his peers than young conservatives. And the song ends up just feeling like a mess to me.
Yeah. So is this where the Kinks, I mean, where do they stand now?
Ray Davies and Dave Davies, their careers go on. Dave Davies is back out playing after an illness and a long time away. Ray Davies has a solo career that some people love. Mm-hmm. I've listened to the solo records. They've never stuck for me. He had a moment where he basically did a storyteller's show. He would get up and play the Kinks songs you know and tell you the stories of them. In essence, these guys exist, as a lot of great rockers do, on their catalog, but mm-hmm. they still want to go on making new music.
We'll leave you with Young Conservatives. It's been Soundcheck's Guide to the Kinks with Joe Levy, editor of Billboard magazine. Always great to see you, Joe.
Good to be here.
And the rebels at my shoulder, and the schools and universities are turning out a brand new breed of young conservatives. Get yourself a brand new scene. Keep your colors white and clean. It's time to come and join the Young Conservatives. Revolution used to be cool, but now it's out of fashion. Politeness is the rule, and that's an angry young man's passion. Another used up all the alternatives. Now they're rushing down the street to join the Young Conservatives.
Time now for another listener to pick sides in our ongoing debate, Beatles versus Stones.
Hi, this is Josh from Ohio, and I would choose the Beatles, not to diminish anything the Rolling Stones did, but if you look at it purely from the influence that they had, it was kind of twofold in the sense that they influenced not just the passive listener and the way music was listened to, but also the musicians themselves started writing differently. Their influence was huge, and I think that's why the Beatles are better. Thank you.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps
in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
We want to hear from you. Tell us which band you like more and why. It's Beatles versus Stones. Go to soundcheck.org or call us at 866-939-1612. Up next, the orchestral pop of the band Lost in the Trees. And later, Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Dwoskin talks about how data from the music service Pandora can be used to decipher your political preferences. Maybe. That's later on Soundcheck.
You're such a
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Over the years, the North Carolina band Lost in the Trees has earned a reputation for acoustic chamber pop that delivers an emotional 1-2 punch. But their latest album, called Past Life, offers a less orchestral and more danceable take on the soaring melodies that they're known for. Lost in the Trees is here with me in the Soundcheck studio today. And they're going to start us off with a live performance of a song from the new album, Past Life. Here is Lady in White from Lost in the Trees.
Oh,
That is the band Lost in the Trees, in a live performance in the Soundcheck studio of a song called Lady in White, which you will find on the latest album from Lost in the Trees. That record's called Past Life, and it is out now. The band is led by Ari Picker, singer, songwriter, and guitarist, joining me here at the Soundcheck microphone. Ari, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joa Tennell, who is also a singer and guitarist on that song, was actually playing keyboards and percussion. Emma Nadeau doing some singing and more keyboards. Mark Dowman on bass. Peter Lewis behind our drum kit. So this is both a stripped down and a newly expanded lineup all at once for Lost in the Trees, it seems.
Yeah. New songs, new people, new process, everything.
Yeah. And so... less of the string ensembles and the horns, and more drums and electric instruments. What was behind that change of tone?
I think the last few albums were created in a bit of a bubble, a musical bubble and just a life bubble. I was in school and learning a lot of the music I was learning about in school was influencing my music, as well as the kind of domestic narrative of those records, very personal. So somewhat isolated. And after touring those records a lot, seeing other bands, and just being in a band, it made me want to play more in a band.
You wanted to write a band record.
I wanted to write a band record.
Yeah. Well, where did you study?
Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Okay. And you were studying, like, soundtrack and...
Yeah, film music.
Film scoring and stuff like that, because there was a very cinematic... There still is a kind of a cinematic scope to a lot of your songwriting.
Sure, yeah.
Have you actually done writing for... You know, have you done soundtracks and scores?
We scored 3 plays this year, and hopefully doing some film next year. So.
Wow. I didn't realize there was a whole lot of, you know, work still doing that, you know, scoring plays.
We got asked by for music for 3 different plays all at the same time last year. So.
Contemporary plays or like older?
We did The Tempest, Metamorphoses, and an original puppet show.
Wow. The Tempest is just made for musicians, isn't it? Because Shakespeare wrote all those songs into the play.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And there have been some pretty interesting soundtracks written over the years, including recent ones for The Tempest. So when you went to Berklee, was it with the idea that when you got out, you might make a living as a composer rather than as a musician in a band?
Yeah, I mean, I had done bands in high school and out of high school, and then I went to get a degree to grow up.
How'd that work out, the growing up part?
I think half of me is still a child and half of me is grown up, so it's a constant struggle.
Yeah, well, I mean, you hope that you never really finish growing up.
Sure, right.
So what were the bands that you went, like, pre-Berklee? Did it sound kind of like this, or is this now utterly transformed from what you were doing?
In high school, it was more kind of Weezer-esque pop rock, kind of. Uh-huh. So, and then I had more of the artful stuff in my bedroom on the side, and... when I went to school, I started embracing that stuff and then decided to take it out on the road, and then here I am.
We're speaking with Ari Picker, who leads the North Carolina band Lost in the Trees. Their latest album is called Past Life. New producer, outside producer for this record.
Yeah.
How big a difference did that make?
A lot of difference. I'm not totally responsible for the record, and that feels really good. It was more of a collaborative thing. And I learned a lot.
The lead-off track, Exkos, is the first track on the record.
Yeah.
What does that title mean?
Have
I stepped inside? Everyone's laughing
it's
suddenly.
It's a secret. I can't tell you.
It's a secret.
It's a secret.
Okay. Even just you and me? No one's listening. You can tell me.
We'll put it in our secret file.
You want to play it for us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Exkos is the name of the song, the mysterious title of this track from the band Lost in the Trees. Here's Ari Picker and the rest of the band playing it for us live here in the Soundcheck studio. The album's called Past Life, and again, this song is called Exkos.
Thank you.
Band Lost in the Trees, live in the Soundcheck studio with a song called Excos, the lead-off track from their latest album called Past Life, which is out now. Once again, Ari Picker, the singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Joa Tennell playing guitar, Emma Nadeau singing, playing keyboards, Mark Dowman on bass, Peter Lewis on drums. Before you go, Ari, we're asking everyone, because it's the 50th anniversary of the Beatles coming to New York, Ed Sullivan, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, all right.
Beatles or Stones? Are you a Beatles guy or a Stones guy?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm a Bowie guy.
You're a Bowie guy. You know, I was going to... There's a lick in Past Life that sounds a little bit like Sound and Vision.
You know what? Someone else said that to me, and I didn't really notice it until I was going more for a Rebel Rebel kind of thing with the looped riff kind of vibe. But yeah, there's definitely the Sound and Vision in there. So,
But that was not one of the choices we gave you.
You know, I think I fell in love with the Beatles first and then fell in love with the Stones second. But, you know, while the Beatles were saying, hold my hand, Rolling Stones were saying, let's spend the night together. So,
all right.
I think the Stones have a little bit more of an edge, but you got to love the Beatles. I mean, Helter Skelter is about as rock and roll as it gets, I guess. Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Stones for you.
Gosh, yeah. You know, I'd probably say Beatles, probably.
What? You just... All right. Ari Picker, having his cake and eating it too, wanting it both ways here in the Soundcheck studio. The album's terrific, and you guys sound great here in the studio. Thanks for coming in and playing for us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
music and conversation from our session with Lost in the Trees at soundcheck.org. Okay, as we just heard, the band songwriter Ari Picker couldn't pick a side in our Beatles versus Stones debate, but this listener did.
This is Ben from Clifton, New Jersey. I think the Beatles are definitely the more influential of the two. The Stones are a great rock and roll band, but the Beatles transcend that. The Beatles' music is so ubiquitous within our culture. Little kids sing Yellow Submarine. People cover their songs all the time, and it's just a part of our language in a way that is not even about the Beatles anymore. Stone songs are always going to be Stone songs, but Beatles songs are ours. So I vote for the Beatles.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field.
We want to hear from you. Tell us which band you like more and why. It's Beatles versus Stones on our website, soundcheck.org, or our listener line, 866-939-1612. Coming up, what your Pandora station might reveal about your politics. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you've used the internet radio site Pandora, you know it has two settings. Bang on the mark and way off. And as you click those little thumbs up or down signals on each song that it plays, it gets to know you a little better. Now the makers of Pandora think they know you well enough to sell you shoes, diapers, and political candidates. Elizabeth Dwoskin is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal in San Francisco, and her recent piece explains how Pandora thinks it can tell whether you vote blue or red, and how it plans to make money off both colors. You can find a link to her story at soundcheck.org. Elizabeth Dwoskin joins me on the line from San Francisco. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what is Pandora doing exactly?
What Pandora's doing is launching political targeting based on your musical preferences. Basically, the company has come up with an algorithm to study how people's musical preferences map onto their political beliefs. And then from there, they're allowing various political campaigns. They won't say which ones yet. They just launched this service this week. But they're allowing political campaigns to target you with ads.
So is the refining of our musical taste through the use of the thumbs up and thumbs down buttons, is that something that, you know, gives a better picture of who we are apart from our musical interests?
Well, what they've done is they looked at voting records across the country. When you register with Pandora, you give the company your zip code.
Right.
They know your county by extension. But Basically what Pandora did is it looked at the results of the last few presidential elections and other elections and said, okay, this county went 80% Democrat. All right, now let's map that on to what we know about the listening tastes in this county. So these counties that are very heavily Democrat, they found people really listen to a lot of reggae channels. Mm. They listen to a lot of jazz and electronic music. He said that those three channels map on to very strong Democratic areas. And then what they do is they extrapolate. So they say, okay, these people are strong Democrats, and it seems like there's no accident that in these strong Democratic areas across the country, people seem to really like these same types of music.
You know, Elizabeth, we've talked about this on the show in the past. Some of these things seem self-evident, that country music fans tend to be more heavily Republican. Jazz and R&B fans tend to be more heavily Democratic. If you're listening to an Hispanic, a Spanish station, almost certainly, as we saw in the last election, you voted Democrat. But in these mixed areas,
If someone's listening to, let's say someone's listening to this Bob Marley song, give a listen to this.
Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is that all that glitter is gold?
So that's Bob Marley's Get Up, Stand Up. Elizabeth Dwoskin's article for the Wall Street Journal is about how Pandora is using listener data to predict our political preferences. So, Elizabeth, if I'm listening to that Bob Marley song and Pandora knows that I have, say, an Upper West Side Manhattan zip code, that might mean one thing, but if instead I'm showing a South Florida zip code, will that mean something else?
Yeah, that's what they say, is they'll say, let's say you're in a zip code in a heavily Republican area, but you're listening to Bob Marley. Well, Pandora says, you must probably be one of the few Democrats in that heavily Republican area if you're listening to reggae so much, based on what they see about who listens to reggae.
Yeah.
So that's their assumption. And, of course, the true test will be whether people click on the ads. I mean, it will be funny if everyone who listens to, you know, certain people who listen to, like, Yanni, the algorithm, Pandora's algorithm for Yanni says that people who like New Age are Republican, so it would be funny if people who like New Age music start getting tons of ads for politicians they would never be interested in.
Sort of breaks the mood of that New Age atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it could break the mood.
all right, here's another one that seems obvious. A little bit of Hank Williams Jr.
As long as I can keep a lot of friends around me, oh, it helps to keep a worried mind occupied. I do all right till dark of night surrounds me, and then I think of her, and then I cry.
Hank Williams Jr. stoned at the jukebox. So, Elizabeth, everyone assumes country music fans vote largely Republican. Pandora's making the same assumption regardless of your zip code. Is that right?
Exactly. And that's something that actually does map onto Republican counties. And so if you're in a Democratic county but you're listening to a lot of country, Pandora's going to let Republican campaigns target you with ads based on how often, it's also how often you listen to country as well, and some other indicators.
Mm-hmm. So let me give you a trickier one then. Listen to this. So, Elizabeth, what does Pandora do with a song like Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen?
Pandora doesn't really know what to do with that song, because Americans from both parties like classic rock. So basically every Pandora user is getting a political-leaning score. Every U.S. Pandora user has a political-leaning score, what percentage they think you lean towards one party or another based on all the channels you listen to. So you only listen to classic rock, then Pandora would probably give you a very neutral score.
Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't have to listen to any of the political ads.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
And somewhat surprisingly, the quiz that that's associated with your piece for the Wall Street Journal indicates that hip hop is also kind of mixed, Democrat and Republican, red and blue, right?
Yeah, hip hop is enjoyed equally by both parties. Apparently, they couldn't find any signal. They call it like a signal. They couldn't find any signal associated with hip hop.
All right, so if you are on Pandora and you're listening to your classic rock or your hip-hop channel or switching between them, what are they're looking for when you stray outside? Do you go to a country station? Do you go to an R&B station? Is that where your score begins to accumulate, your political score?
So you listen to a lot of hip-hop, so the Pandora algorithm says, oh, this person's politically neutral, we can't tell. Then you start listening to a lot more Bob Marley or a lot more, you know, R&B. And in that case, Pandora will start scoring you towards one party. But R&B was one of those categories. They said that it's not a strong Democratic indicator. It's a slightly Democratic indicator.
Okay.
Not as good as reggae.
So what kind of money are we talking about here? Is this a political game changer potentially?
That's a good question. What I can tell you is that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I did a story about Michelle Bachmann and how she won improbably the Iowa straw poll, and it was about her use of Facebook, and she found people who were Tea Party supporters or had posted messages in favor of tax cut or anti-abortion or Christian rock fans, and then those people got pummeled with ads, just the people who lived in Iowa. So, and we know that targeted advertising is, you know, the currency on the web right now, and Pandora is not just looking at political advertising now. They're also letting advertisers target people who they say are high income, and they've mapped income brackets based on zip code onto people's musical preferences as well. They say people who have more money tend to listen to more eclectic music.
Well, yeah, and I guess that the eclecticism of, you know, the iPod era and people who listen to music on shuffle, I can only hope that that's going to really confuse all these political operatives. I would hate to think that they can just, like, kind of read so much into us just from what we listen to on sites like Pandora. But apparently that is what's going on. And Elizabeth Dwoskin's report for the Wall Street Journal is all about how Pandora is using listener data to predict our political preferences. You can find a link to it on our website at soundcheck.org. Elizabeth, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck.
My diamonds ain't blue, my money's dark green, and my Porsche is light gray. Hey, I'm headed for DC. Anybody feel me?
Good morning, America. Sorry I woke you. I just had to say what's on my mind, like Oprah. Got the whole world like why he opened his mouth. Same reason during Katrina that he opened his house. Help raise food, help raise water. So God knows who can feed their son or their daughter. Say what I want.
Tomorrow on the show, a look at the music categories at the Academy Awards. Milena Rysik of the New York Times joins us for a look at the Oscar nominees for Best Score and Best Song, and a preview of what's on Broadway this spring. Plus, music from a rising star in indie rock. We'll hear a live performance from the Australian singer-songwriter Courtney Barnett and her band, the Courtney Barnetts. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff with Amy Pearl. Our theme music's by Marco Benevento. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.